We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You've got Longoria and ideally Belt still coming back. Tommy La Stella is set to return in early August, so you will get more offensive depth. From a pitching standpoint, you don't have a ton of help coming up from the farm, but do you have enough arms as it is, or are you concerned about the starting rotation? 888-957-9570. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station, and that's all sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. It's Steiny Guru and Dibs, JD, Dan Dibley, Whitey Gleason alongside up in 5 minutes. That's a problem with JD, but how much Olympics are you watching, JD? Are you finding that your Olympics fix is being fulfilled?
Yeah, you know what? I'm typically the kind of guy that will throw it on at night and just roll with whatever NBC's putting on my plate, you know, just to kind of get a feel for it. I am less into the Olympics this year than I have ever been before. I'm always interested in it. Typically, it's kind of fun. I enjoy the storylines with a lot of the athletes, but I'm just not into it this year. I watched the basketball game yesterday. It was just, and that turned me off to be honest for the rest of the day. The performance that the Team USA put out there. So I'm actually less into it. I think the fact that there are no fans and that there is such a question as to whether or not these games should even be taking place in Tokyo, given the current stature of where everything is with the virus over there. So it just leaves kind of a poor taste in my mouth overall.
Yeah, I get that. And part of it for me is the challenge of knowing what's live and what's not live. And I know you can look in the corner of the screen and it tells you if it's live or if it's not live. But in general, you put something on and you start to watch it and you think, well, this happened between 2 and 8 hours ago. It makes it a little bit tougher. Well, JD, you mentioned the U.S. men's basketball team, and I'd like to cue you up for the first and hopefully not the only installment of That's a Problem, because it's a drop of yours we love on this show, and it's a moment of real humanity that you shared with all of our listeners. And I thought today would be a great day for you to really take this one moment in time, your great drop, and expand upon it, JD. So I'll clear the decks. Here he is, John Dickinson, because the U.S. men's national basketball team has got issues, and JD thinks that's a problem.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable to see Team USA finally get to Tokyo after dropping two of the four exhibitions. And to be, you know, come back after being down, they go into the fourth quarter, they're up 7 with 3:41 to go, and to get rolled down the stretch by Nicolas Batum and Evan Fournier and Rudy Gobert, and lose their opener to put themselves in a position where essentially they got to win out. It's just it was just gutless, uninspired basketball. It was just I think it starts at the top, man. It's Greg Popovich at the top. You know, what is Greg Popovich doing? He, to me, sets the tone for this lack of urgency that permeates down the ranks of Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard and superstars that are more concerned about their own personal brand. And grouping together for the United States and trying to win gold. I don't care how shorthanded this team has been, Dibs. I don't care whether it's plug and play and you got Booker and Middleton and Drew Holiday just coming off the plane after playing in the NBA Finals. There is far more talent on Team USA's roster than any other country. They should be able to freaking figure it out, for crying out loud. I don't understand, and I feel like there's just a lack of cohesion, a lack of urgency. Get out there. Talent wins. I don't want to hear about who isn't playing that should be. Steph, LeBron, Anthony Davis, all of that. There's plenty of talent. Just take it seriously. It's a problem, Dibs, that on a nightly basis you see it in the NBA, and now we're seeing it in the international competition, where it's just selective competitiveness, kind of going through the motions and believing that you've got enough at the end of the day to win. And this team proved that they proved it in the exhibitions that they shouldn't be thinking that way. Now they lose the opener. It's a joke. It's an embarrassment. It's a problem.
I love it, JD. That an absolute, yes, smash hit debut. Four crieds for your JD. It was everything but that's a problem, which, and that's the beauty of the drop. And I know Spadoni's going to cue it up momentarily, but it's the way your voice rises with such consternation with the P in problem.
That's a problem.
It's like, I mean, it's as close to you swearing on the air as it gets, right? Which you have never and will never do, but
the passion
with which you deliver the problem. Listen to this line, JD. 21 minutes, 4 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 6 from 3, 2 boards, 2 assists, and a foul out. That's supposed to be the best player on the planet. Kevin Durant goes for 10, 2, and 2 in the most important Olympic game so far. That's an absolute turd in the punch bowl, JD.
It is. And look, I mean, where's the Kevin Durant that you can just put the ball in his hands and he can get off any 17, 18-footer automatic? Remember, I'm Kevin Durant? I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. He's not messing around with Patrick Beverley. He sure as heck shouldn't be messing around with Nicolas Batum or Evan Fournier at this point. I mean, Durant should be able to dominate at the same level he's able to dominate on an NBA floor in this Olympic competition. And look, at some point, it's on Greg Popovich to see the talent that he has and the advantage that he has and just simplify things, man. If it means Damian Lillard and Kevin Durant running pick and roll over and over just to have them dominate and get a win, then do it. Quit trying to run the freaking San Antonio Spurs, a 2014 offense. And how about you? Like, I feel like Popovich lost his fastball about 10 years ago. Like, they got the championship because Kawhi developed into something, another one. But I think Popovich, you know, just the urgency is gone as far as, you know, getting in guys' faces and making sure they're in the right spot and making sure that they just have a joy and a desire to play the game. I feel like, and look, I'm not coming down his road for the other interests in the world and the humanity that he displays or anything like that. Like, I think all of that's great, but I almost feel like that's supplanted some of the spirit that he used to bring to coaching.
Yeah, I agree with you, JD, and it's the idea that, you know, a lot of this is taken for granted. Again, we're the USA. You come in as 11.5-point favorites against France, and, you know, halftime, you're in command. It looked like things were going to go the way they normally do with USA basketball, and then you come out and you get outscored 25-11 in the third quarter, and France takes hold of the game, and the rest is Olympic history. Coming up on Wednesday, it'll be 9:40 our time, the U.S. taking on Iran, and then 3 days after that, so Saturday at 5 o'clock Pacific time, the USA will play their third and final game in pool play and get ready for, hopefully, a berth in the quarterfinals. And it's hard to even believe that we're at a point where we're hoping that they make it to the knockout stages. I mean, I wouldn't imagine that we all thought that we'd be in this spot. Even JD, after they lost those two exhibition games, I still wasn't even thinking about installing a panic button. And all of a sudden now, we don't have our finger on the panic button, but we know where that panic button is, so to speak.
Well, it's just like an NBA playoff series or an NBA regular season. You can feel that this team is so talented that they know the games they have to win, and they're going to get out there and they're going to win those games. And it was almost as if after, you know, shaking off the cobwebs or the rust or whatever from losing those first, you know, couple of games in the exhibitions, it was almost like this was the first opportunity for them to have a letdown, right? Didn't need to win this game. Know you can run the table the rest of the way and be fine. And then they come out with zero urgency. And then they get back into the game. And then, you know, they're down six going to the fourth quarter. And then they make a run to go up seven with 4 minutes to go. It's just the selective competitiveness, the belief that they can flip the switch in any moment. That drives me absolutely nuts. Like, just bring it for the entirety of the game. Even though this is a shorthanded roster by Team USA standards, you still have plenty to bring home the gold.
888-957-9570. Are you locked in on the Olympics? Are you tuning in to see the U.S. men's basketball team? And JD, ultimately, this might make these Olympics, or at least the Olympic basketball, more watchable if the USA, and they're not going to go in as overwhelming favorites. They could still be somewhat favored, but that is yet to be determined. The USA right now sitting on 7 gold medals as of the action that concluded today. And of course, Japan is a full 16 hours ahead. So right now we're getting ready for Tuesday morning action, which will be starting momentarily. 888-957-9570. How locked in are you on the Olympic Games? Well, coming up on the other side, the 40 minutes of nonstop, uninterrupted sports talk, including the lock of the day and so much more. It's Steiny, Guru and Dibs, JD and Whitey Gleason in for my boys right here on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Man, I miss that disappointed voice. The dulcet tones of Daryl the Guru Johnson. He'll be back on Monday. And miss you, Steiny. Also enjoying a good respite here. It is Bananza. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, Whitey Gleason, John Dickinson, and myself, Dan Dibley, as we are just dipping a toe in the water, JD, of an unbelievable week here on 95.7 The Game. The NBA draft, MLB, free agency. Of course, it's a total bonanza. And the Niners are reporting to camp. NBA free agency begins. And of course, my pet, my special pet, the Olympics, including Olympic golf, which gets underway on Thursday, JD.
Wow, that should be a lot of fun. I know you'll be keeping the people updated on all of that. Should be a lot. Yeah, man, lot going on. I know. I'm going to rely on you to keep me updated on what's going on in the Olympics, because I just am not feeling it to the tune that I have in prior years.
Yeah, I've been getting a little bit of heat at home for all of the various activities I was watching, including last night's women's skateboarding big trick contest, in which it was a clash of 13-year-olds, JD, two 13-year-olds and a 19-year-old. The American representative who finished fourth, I believe, was 33, but it was kind of odd seeing such great young phenoms competing for a gold medal, as skateboarding has now been injected into the Olympic Games, JD.
How is that as a watch? Is that a fun watch? Is it a good watch, or is it kind of a painful watch?
Well, it's painful in that the skaters would go up and try to do these great rail slides with a kick flip and maybe a nose grind, and four out of every five were crashing. And, you know, it's pavement, JD. I don't know the last time you were on a skateboard, let alone trying to do anything of an aerial nature, but the landings, the older you get, those landings hurt. And now I'm at the point where even watching somebody else have a hard fall, it's kind of like an injury deja vu. I wince.
Yeah, circa 1997 for me,
gotcha.
Probably, as far as it would have been skinny JD before heavy JD, and now it would have been the original skinny JD that would have been doing that kind of stuff.
The original skinny JD was only a skinny JD, by the way. Nothing more than that. It's one of the
The original Spider-Man was only a Spider-Man.
Yeah, he didn't realize that Peter Parker was actually Spider-Man. Up in 5 minutes, JD, I've got some news surrounding the Green Bay Packers, which has come out today. But first, we like to give away money. We like to give to our listeners, and we do it through a vehicle called the Lock of the Day.
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Oh, lock me, lady, to
big fat show artist.
He's as cold, as ice.
Wasn't bad, Kyle.
Yeah, it was very nice harmonizing. Dibs Lock of the Day is brought to you by BetQL. Looking for sports betting content all day long? Of course you are. That's why you're here. The BetQL network is now available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices. And, of course, at BetQLnetwork.com. This is wagertainment for every fan. Do you see what they did there? Wager plus entertainment. It's wagertainment for all the fans. Morning, afternoon, and night. You got betting angles throughout the day. Insights from not only the local guys, but those national experts as well. Entertaining content that keeps you both casual and hardcore bettors engaged. Get sports betting tips from the best in the game. BetQL Network, streaming now on Odyssey. Let's rewind the clock to Friday, where Dibs was on the pick. He went with the Dodgers coming off their series loss. They dropped 3-4 to the Giants. Thought they'd get back on track against Colorado, the worst road team in baseball. And not so fast, Dibs.
And this ball launched to deep right. Stay fair. Oh. How about home run number 6? And the Rockies take a 6-5 lead. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah, they tacked on a couple more and went on to win 9-6. Dibs had the Dodgers minus 1.5 against Colorado, which going in was just 9-34 on the road. But yikes, they pull off the win at Chavez Ravine. Dibs, you're 12-8 now overall, but just 1-1 on this set of picks, so it stays with you.
Yeah, but it's a must win here. Otherwise, we pass the Ducci on the left-hand side. And Kyle, I was watching that Dodger game on my phone, sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight, and they're up 5-2, and it's 5-3, and the Dodger bullpen. As long as they don't bring in Jansen, we'll be fine. Well, they didn't bring in Jansen, and we weren't fine. The Rockies broke that thing open in the 10th. The Dodgers stink. And, you know, finally, Dave Roberts heeded my call yesterday, putting Joe Kelly in to close. He got his first save of the year, so maybe it's Kenley out, Kelly in. But I learned my lesson. I'm off the Dodgers now.
It's no longer going to be Enter Janman.
Thank you. I'll give you 4 for that. Yeah,
right,
he played along. He played along with the bit. And if you felt that dad joke was awkward, I'll change up the mojo by simply saying the pick is in. Baseball's been very, very good to me. I'll tell you what I got. We're going to the Chicago White Sox for the Lock of the Day. It's a team that's been playing great baseball. Dallas Keuchel on the bump. We are going to give the run and a half. It's plus 125, so bet 100 to win 125. Take the Chicago White Sox and give the run and a half.
Who are they playing, Dibs?
They're playing an American League foe. It's a very competitive team. And
the Twins? Question mark?
One of the Twins. Is it Gemini season? Yeah, no, it's the Royals. They're playing the Royals. Yeah.
Oh, different and bad AL Central team.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. On the road at, are they still in Kansas City? Yeah. Yeah, double checking.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. JD,
channeling your inner Steiny here.
Totally. I mean, I'll take one of the Chicago. Notebook.
What's happening?
Not a lot of great games on the board today.
No,
I'll say that. Just looking around.
Yeah, and so I leaned on the good people at BetQL, BetQL.com. Kyle gave you the 60-second version of the read. I'll simply tell you that they've got a lot of great baseball analysis and four games up there, JD, that get the five-star rating. But you mentioned it. It is a bit of a weird one today with no Padres, no Dodgers, and no Giants in action.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder if maybe, and Whitey alluded to this earlier, this becomes the day where a lot of the deals get done when you look at the division that I think is going to be as active as any in Major League Baseball with respect to making moves. I mean, seemingly every rumor right now has some kind of a Dodger or a Padre spin to it, with them obviously chasing the Giants and believing that they were, you know, both favorites to finish ahead of San Francisco in the standings, both looking for pitching help, starting rotation that hasn't been what it was anticipated to be for the Padres. The Dodgers, with Kershaw down and Bauer maybe not coming back, they're looking for help. I think they could be looking for bullpen help as well now with what's going on with Kenley Jansen, Dibs. I know I saw the A's involved maybe in trying to get the closer from the Pirates, Rodriguez. So a lot of teams here on the West Coast all vying potentially for the same group of players. It's going to make these final three or four days a lot of fun.
Stein, Guru, and Dibs with JD and Whitey in here on 95.7 The Game. The Twins have a starting pitcher, Jose Berríos, who is reportedly, according to John Paul Morosi, being sought by the Padres, by the Dodgers, and maybe the Giants as well. JD, a starting pitcher, he's made 20 turns this year, 7-5 with a 3.48. The whip, barely above 1.044. He's good for a strikeout, an inning, not too many walks. He has given up 14 bombs, though, in those 20 starts. Is this sort of a, you know, not an elite starter, but probably in that B-plus group? Is this a player that you'd want to get not only to help your rotation, but also block your foes? And hopefully that is something that JD's mulling over, because it's such a profound question that it can't be answered with one simple sentence. And again, the reports from John Paul Morosi are that both the Giants and Dodgers could be interested in Berríos as we sit 5 days from the trade deadline. 888-957-9570. How aggressive should Farhan Zaidi be ahead of the deadline in terms of not necessarily gutting the farm, but using key pieces from your farm system in order to shore up either the rotation or to shore up the hitting with a pinch hitter, or maybe perhaps even a back end closer?
95.7 The Game breaking news, brought to you by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Going to shift gears and head to the NBA real quick, where Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that Memphis is finalizing a deal to send Jonas Valanciunas 2021 picks number 17 and 51 to New Orleans in exchange for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and the 10th and 40th picks this year, and a protected 2022 second-round pick via the Lakers. So it's Jonas Valanciunas from Memphis to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and a bunch of picks.
Wow, this feels like the first of many moves for New Orleans, because you think on the surface, I love Jonas Valanciunas, a former lottery pick who's proved to be a very serviceable and improving big man in a league that doesn't really emphasize the big as much as years gone by. But Valanciunas, a very good player. So Memphis sends him and two picks this year, number 17 and number 51. They get back picks 10 and 40. So basically it's a first and second round pick swap. So Memphis moves back seven spots, and then they move back, or they move up 11 spots. So kind of a net neutral in the pick trade. And Steven Adams comes back, so it becomes Valanciunas for Steven Adams, Bledsoe, and next year's first. JD, just on your first glimpse of this, and you can answer my first question second and my second question first, as we say in the business, but this trade, it really is basically Valanciunas for Steven Adams, Bledsoe, and next year's first. Who did better, Memphis or New Orleans?
I like Memphis in this deal initially. And just looking at it, I think, you know, short term they get better, you know, adding some veteran depth in Bledsoe. I think Valanciunas was a key part of what they did this past season, but Adams is sturdier, better defender. They're both obviously big time offensive rebounders. And then there's also the bet that, you know, you look at it, I guess that's the Lakers first round in 2022 that's coming back. So I think, you know, that they're trying to add some back end maybe of the first round talent moving forward. But I think they're also trying to add a little bit of veteran leadership to a team that wants to, after securing the eight seed, try and vault their way up to where they're not fighting for a play-in tournament type of a berth in this 21-22 campaign.
And Bledsoe playing alongside Ja Morant, to me, is a better fit for this year as opposed to Valanciunas playing alongside Zion Williamson. So when you think about this from the New Orleans side of it, Valanciunas joins a very young team and a team where Zion's not a true center in the traditional way, but can Zion play with Valanciunas and be successful as kind of a bit of a stretch four, so to speak? And what do you think of New Orleans now with their starting lineup, if you're able to go Ingram and Ball, Zion and Valanciunas among them?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a different version of the same for them. Like, I think they feel destined to be in that 10, 11, 12 range. If anything, I think they're getting younger in this deal, and we'll see what happens with Lonzo Ball and whether he winds up coming back. But I think the first thought on the New Orleans side was, boy, I almost feel like they're maybe trying to maybe go into a little bit of a rebuild themselves. I know it does give them a little bit more flexibility financially if they want to match an offer for Lonzo Ball. So maybe he becomes a bigger part of the equation, you know, moving forward there. But I don't think this does anything to New Orleans to where it puts them in the conversation for the playoffs. I think this does have the potential maybe to solidify Memphis as a team who made it this past year to be in that conversation or maybe be a slightly better year.
So Memphis moves up in front of the Warriors now by acquiring number 10 and number 40, particularly number 10. When you think about what the Grizzlies need and perhaps a player they might be interested in, does this change the way that the Warriors will go about possibly conducting their draft? If Kuminga's on the board, maybe that's a player now that Memphis wants, and maybe there's another suitor for the Warriors to draft and trade. How do you think that part of it, JD, affects what the Warriors are trying to do on Thursday?
Yeah, I think it will, because every player that we talked earlier about, how there's probably 10 players that would be in play, maybe 7 to 10 players that would be in play for the Warriors at 7 and at 14, depending upon how things shake out. And now you've got one more team that you're potentially going to be competing with as far as trying to move up the landscape of the playoff picture in the Western Conference that's muddying those waters, so to speak. I'm looking at Memphis, and I'm trying to think, you know, what does Memphis need? I mean, Memphis, they need some scoring. They need some guard play. They need more shooting, I think, you know, top to bottom, three-point shooting. So I think, you know, any of these ready-made wing players that could knock down threes, I think would be in play. So I think they would be in play for a Wagner. I think they'd be in play for a Moses Moody. I think they'd be in play for a lot of the same kind of players maybe the Warriors would be in play for at 14, potentially, and that could alter the course of things for Golden State.
888-957-9570, your reaction to the bombshell that the first Woj bomb dropped here ahead of the NBA draft set for Thursday. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Memphis is finalizing a trade to send Jonas Valanciunas, the number 17 and 51 picks this year, off to New Orleans. In exchange, the pride of New Zealand Stephen Adams, Eric Bledsoe, picks 10 and 40 this year and a protected 2022 first-round pick via the Lakers for next year. And Woj adds, JD, that New Orleans creates salary cap space for August that allows them to either match an offer sheet on Lonzo Ball or have the cap space to pursue a significant free agent point guard, Kyle Lowry, among those that Woj mentions. And also, New Orleans likes Valanciunas as a floor spacer at center as opposed to Stephen Adams, who's more of a traditional interior big man. 888-957-9570 as we react to this breaking news, JD. And you know, you think about the MLB trade deadline, and we've talked about Bonanza this week and all the action that's continuing to ramp up. How active do you think the Warriors would be if I said which team, which front office conducts more trades, the Warriors or the Giants before the end of the week? What do you got?
Boy, that's a great question.
Thank you, Tim.
It's a great question. I'm going Giants because I think the Giants are going to make multiple. I think the Warriors are probably one and done, Dibs, if they can get.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A Beal deal done. If another younger star player becomes available, a Jaylen Brown type, somebody that's in that young prime type comes available, I think the Warriors would try to be all over getting in on something like that. But I think they're a one and done kind of a trade deal. The Giants, to me, are going to be making, I would say, at least two, if okay, not three deals between
wow,
now and Friday.
I was going to put some over-unders out there, and you kind of already answered it, which kind of ruins the bit, but I'll do it anyway. Thank you. And maybe, Kyle, you can chime in as well, because you are reportedly brilliant. You're either brilliant or on shaky ground. I never know which one it is.
Oh, but boy. Get it.
Over-under the Warriors' trades. Now, this is just trades. This is not draft picks. I set it at 0.5, Kyle. Over-under 0.5 trades between now and Saturday for your Golden State Warriors.
Trade of any kind? It doesn't have to involve the picks?
Correct.
I'm going
Correct.
Over, Dibs. I'm taking the okay, over on the half a trade. Whether it's moving up or back, I don't think they just stamp out with the assets they have and call it good. I think there's going to be, even if it's minor, some kind of moves happening.
And JD, you're in the same camp as well, right? Same camp, different tent, of course. Maybe same tent, family size, I don't know. But you're also on the over?
I'm on the over. I'm heavy on the over, Dibs.
Man, heavy D and the boys. I love it. Alert,
major bag, alert, major.
Up in 3 minutes, I got a special point spread for you guys as it pertains to Olympic basketball. But first, you got to Google it. But first, the Giants, same idea, different spread, Kyle. Giants over under 1.5 trades. Again, this is not, you know, hey, this guy gets shuttled up and this guy gets shuttled down and activated from the IL, etc. Over under trades at 1.5. For Farhan Zaidi.
I'm slamming the over on that.
Wow.
I think they have enough needs that I don't think they're going to make a huge trade. Wow. I think it's going to be a couple of smaller ones, 2-3 smaller deals, maybe a starter, maybe a reliever, maybe they add an extra outfielder, whatever it is. I think they make more than 1.5.
Okay, JD, are you same camp, same campsite?
Same church, tent, same pew?
Different sleeping bag?
Yeah. a different sleeping bag, but you could actually set this
like
number at 2.5, and I would take the over.
Wow.
You could
set
it at 2.5. That's how confident I am that, and take the over. And I think Kyle is on to exactly. I mean, to me, it's a reliever. It's either a reliever or two relievers. They might not be able to do two relievers now because they have to do I think they're going to be more apt with the way Gausman pitched over the weekend to put an impetus on needing to add a starter. And I think a bat is much that's much farther down the list. But I do think there will be some kind of utility player, outfielder, guy that can move around that they may look to plug in there at some point. So I actually think there's going to be three moves made over the course of these next 4 days.
But you don't think it'll be starter, reliever, utility guy?
I think it could be.
Okay.
I think it could be one of each.
Wow. That to me, if you're going to go over, that would be the only way that I would feel comfortable with it being over. And I actually would go under on the 2.5, the Farhan line, the alternate line that you set. Two trades, probably the most that I would see. And honestly, the more I think about it with Bob Myers and the Warriors, I don't think that they're going to make any trades. And if they do, it will be a draft and dish, kind of like the draw and dish. But this is the draft and dish where they'll take a player. Maybe it's Kuminga if he falls to 7 and they've got somebody behind him who really wants him and they could pick up additional assets. But I don't think that Bradley Beal or anything of that magnitude will go down. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs here, JD and Whitey, in for the week. I'm looking forward to a great week. It is Bananza. So much excitement around all the big sports. The Niners going to be reporting to camp, and we'll get into all the camp questions as this week goes on. Major League Baseball's trade deadline is the 31st, and JD, up in 2 minutes, I'll give you the big spread that I was talking about, but first, we haven't even mentioned it. Giants, Dodgers, big boy, they're in for 3, and then the Astros come in for 3 right after that. It's going to be a great week of Giants baseball down there at Third and King.
Yeah, great test for the Giants, and another one. I mean, they've seemingly passed all tests. If there is something that has been a little bit of a blip on this Giants season, it was the sweep at the hands of the Dodgers back at Oracle Park in May, lost in the Warriors elimination, which was that Friday night at the hands of the Memphis Grizzlies in the play-in tournament. The Giants and Dodgers were just getting started a couple of blocks away. San Francisco and Dodgers with the sweep in that series. The Giants played very well down at Dodger Stadium. 10 games there, but now another 3-game set where the Giants are going to have to bounce back and show that they can run with the Dodgers in their own crib, Dibs.
Yeah, and you mentioned the test that they have coming in, and it's been a tough test so far, and we discussed it a couple of weeks ago. 16 games ahead of the trade deadline, 10 against teams with winning records, and in those 10 games so far, they're 5-5. So the next 6 will determine just how the Giants go into the trade deadline, how much momentum, how much confidence, etc. Well, we didn't expect the U.S. men's basketball team to be tested, JD. If I would have asked you this 6 months ago, you would have laughed in my face. But here we are. They lost to Australia. They lost to Nigeria in exhibitions, but losses nonetheless. Then they come out and they turtle up like Le Tortoise against France, and you fall on that one. Up next, they've got Iran. Now, JD, I don't think anybody in their right mind would think that the U.S. is vulnerable to lose. But good teams win. Great teams cover the spread. Have you seen the point spread, JD, for USA v. Iran on Wednesday?
I have not, but I'm willing to give it a... I'm going to give it a guess. I'm going to say...
Hold on.
23.5. I'm going to say...
Okay. Before you give your official guess, because, you know, we like to lay things out here in a more dramatic fashion. We play the music. We milk the bit. We opine. We struggle internally with where it might fall. And then, and only then, what do you got? Will the answer be delivered, JD? So, fortunately, we blocked out that terribly erroneous excuse of a guest you may have offered. But JD, my friend, hey, what do you think the point spread will be when the U.S. takes on Iran and Iran on Wednesday?
I'm going to say 31 and a half.
31 and
what
a half. To carry the eight. Kyle, do you have a guess on the point spread? USA versus the
really?
Flock of Seagulls.
Given your gesticulations, I'm gonna go 54 points.
Nah, you hit me. Kyle deserves to be on shaking.
Oh boy,
Spadone. I'll give you a clue, Spadone. It's between JD, who he's not at the South Pole, but he's in northern Chile, and Kyle, who deserves to be on shaky ground in North Greenland. Joseph Spadone, what is the point spread for U.S. against Iran?
I'm going 41 and a half.
You got it, Spadone.
Oh, brilliant.
He looked it up. Such a cheater.
I'm looking at his computer right now. Yeah.
No?
No, he didn't Google it.
No, I didn't. That was a straight-up guess.
No, he didn't Google it. Yeah. 41 and a half. Thank you for playing,
great
boys.
Job,
Joe Spadone. Yeah. Great job, Spadone.
Guess
41 and a half, JD.
Spread.
Seriously, but, I mean, if you thought about that in a vacuum, you would take the U.S. and liquidate all assets. I'm excited. I'm starting to tingle. But something about the Iranians, I mean, 41 and a half, I got to tell you, I think I'm taking the dog.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't think I would play it because I would not feel comfortable taking the United States. 41 and a half. I mean, I couldn't do it. Even with them coming off of a loss, even with them having the urgency of really needing to win to make sure that they can advance out of their own group and on into the elimination round, I can't do it. This team's lost 3 out of 5, and they've done it in just... They've done it at Dibs in just horrendous fashion.
No, it's a great uptick. I absolutely love the tick there. You really brought it home, JD. 888-957-9570. Other games, and just to give you some idea how wildly outlandish that spread is, coming up game tomorrow, Germany and Nigeria. The Nigerians given 4.5 to the Germans. You've got... Australia by 7.5 over Italy, and France favored by 9.5 over Czech Republic. So this is looks to be the big blowout here in the next wave of games, JD.
I'll take.
He's a man of very few words, John Dickinson. I appreciate it. That was his Joe Buck right there. Basketball spread.
I'm taking a look at the Iranian men's national basketball team roster right now. Dibs, do you want to take a guess at the highest ever finish by Iran in the Olympics?
Well, I would say they've never made it out of pool play.
Yeah, no, that's a great guess. They finished 14th place in 1948. In 2008 was the next time they qualified. They finished in 11th there in Beijing. They played 5 games. They lost them all. And they did not qualify in 2012 or 2016. And now the 2020 games in Japan, of course, they've played one and lost it. They are 2-11 all-time in Olympic play. They have no NBA players on their roster.
That makes sense. And what was the score of their opener, Kyle, as we start to put into some perspective as we're talking Iranian basketball here on 95.7 The Game?
I don't have that in front of me right now. They faced the Czech Republic, I know that much. And the final score of that one was 84-78.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a gutsy effort. I think I'm taking the 41.5 based on that result alone. The U.S. is going to have to beat them 122-80 for me to lose that one. And this U.S. team, they haven't shown a lot of great offensive firepower no matter who the opponent's been.
Nope.
Any team that's relying on Draymond Green, we had Mo Dekeel on earlier at noon. If you missed it, go ahead and check it out on the Odyssey app using the rewind feature. He mentioned that Draymond Green is probably their best offensive playmaker. And if that's the case, I'm not taking that team to beat another team by 42 points.
That's a good point. 888-957-9570. We've got a bit of breaking news as it pertains to Aaron Rodgers, guys, we need to get to. And this is coming out of today's press conference the Packers had with their shareholders. And according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, the Packers are close to an agreement in principle with Aaron Rodgers that will change his contract and make number 12 happy. According to those close to camp, the issues are that Rodgers' contract for 2023, the last one in his current deal, that would be voided with no tags allowed in the future. The Packers would agree to review his situation at the end of this upcoming season, and his contract would be adjusted with no loss of money in order to give the Packers more cap room now. So essentially, Kyle, and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, but the upshot is that Aaron Rodgers' contract becomes a one-year deal. He plays out this year, and then the quarterback himself will have the option of staying or leaving.
Yeah, he basically becomes a free agent next year, which, wow, I think is kind of what he wants. And I think we got JD back. So go ahead, JD.
No, I'm stunned that the Packers would allow him to leave after this season. Like, to me, they had all of the leverage in this situation, and I could see maybe you do a deal that gives yourself a little bit more financial flexibility, but and give one of those 3 years back. But to give two of those 3 years back, that doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. I know, Mike Silver, the Aaron Rodgers whisperer, had tweeted something to the effect out about.
Right, and it's just the idea, JD, that Aaron Rodgers, 1 year of Aaron Rodgers this year is better in the Packers' mind than, having to do battle with Aaron Rodgers, and maybe you don't have him this year, and maybe he forces his way out or he forces a trade and then you don't get proper compensation. So if you're Green Bay, you do have all the leverage, but at the same time, the leverage lies with the quarterback that is one of the best in football and one of the best in the history of the National Football League. So if you're Green Bay, you think, yeah, we have the leverage. We don't have to yield to his whim. However, if you don't yield to his whim and he holds out, and then now you got to go with Jordan Love, and maybe this year you're not able to do anything and make the playoffs, and then what? You still don't have Aaron Rodgers, and he still isn't closer to coming back. In fact, he'd be further away at that point from wanting to be a Packer. So this is one of those classic hold-your-nose specials, Kyle, the way I see it from a front office standpoint, where, the lesser of two evils is giving Rodgers what he wants, and the hope is, he leads you to a Super Bowl this year, and then you deal with next year then.
That's exactly it. You get him in the building this year because they don't have a contingency plan ready. All accounts out of camp is that Jordan Love is not ready to start for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. So you get Aaron Rodgers back, you say, hey, we'll put you on a one-year deal, we'll work something out, and then we can kick this can down the road. Maybe they can do enough this year to bring him back. But if not, now you have a full year to get ready and try and maneuver to give yourself a better contingency plan than what they have. But if they had just let him retire this year, I think it could have really been a disaster. But you get him back in the building now. You get one more year with 12. You get the last dance, and maybe you get that Super Bowl run, and it rekindles his love of playing in Green Bay. I'm not anticipating that, but it's better, like you said, than him going, all right, I'm out. Good luck this season, because that could have really been bad.
You've got a much better chance of having him play for you next year if he plays for you this year.
Yeah.
If he didn't play for you this year because he retired or he sat out or whatever the reason was, well, now he's further away than ever from remaining a Packer. And you're right, Kyle. The hope is, even if you don't win a Super Bowl, maybe he finds out that this new regime is more befitting to his style of play and you're getting more weapons around Aaron Rodgers, and maybe he has a personally successful and fulfilling year, and then he decides that he wants to stay after all. We've seen many players change their mind and, change their approach as it pertains to where they want to be in real time. So the fact that this happened as the shareholders were set to meet with the president and the GM is more than just pure coincidence.
Yeah, and owners and GMs and team presidents care about this kind of stuff. They weren't going to go do this and go, hey, sorry about Aaron Rodgers, by the way. We're not going to be very good this year. And bad news for the 49ers. That means Aaron Rodgers is going to be in the building at Levi Stadium week 3.
That's also good news for the 49ers because it's going to be a fun year with fans back at Levi's and, you know, having 12 under center in a primetime game in Santa Clara with September weather, which is absolutely divine and spectacular. It's really what we all want. You want to be the best. To be the best, you've got to beat the best without a doubt. Well, 888-957-9570 is the number in the text line coming up on Damon Radowinkolsky, Alex Pavlovich at 3:15, Chris Rose 4:15, Tim Roy at 4:45, and the big question, are you rooting against Team USA? Thanks to Spadoni, Kyle, Whitey, and JD. This is Dan Dibley saying see you tomorrow here on Steiny Guru and Dibs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.